My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello and welcome to Luke's English Podcast, the real British English podcast. And this is episode 2 of the podcast, and I'm very pleased because I've already had a couple of emails from a couple of people who've listened to the podcast. And one of those emails comes from José Manuel in Alicante in Spain. And he asked me about Easter, because it's Easter at the moment. He asked me what we do normally in the UK at Easter. And, it's funny you should ask that, José. José, I'm sure that's how you say it. Because right now I'm at my parents' place. I've travelled up on the train from London, and I'm at my parents' house, which is in the countryside in Warwickshire. And this is a typical thing that people of my age do. They normally kind of travel back to their parents' houses and they spend time with their families together. And actually, in this episode, I'm going to be joined by my dad. So I'm going to interview my dad about Easter. So he will tell you some typical things about Easter time in the UK. And so that's going to be our feature in part 2. And then at the end of the podcast, I'm going to talk about some adverbs, some useful adverbs in response to another email that we got. And so that's what's going to happen in today's podcast. Okay, so I'm now joined by my dad, Rick. But obviously, I call him Dad. Don't call him Rick. Hi, Dad.
Hello, Luke.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Good. So, obviously, I'm here at my parents' house because it's Easter at your house. This is what I normally do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a time to get together with the family.
Right. Okay. So Easter, then. Now, Easter is a season when we remember the death and rebirth of Jesus Christ by telling our children that a large rabbit comes in the night and leaves chocolate eggs in the garden. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems a bit strange to me. I don't know what the connection is between the Jesus thing and a big rabbit and chocolate and eggs and things. What do you think about that?
Well, this idea of the Easter rabbit coming and bringing eggs is a bit of an American idea, right, really. I think that it's a very interesting mixture between Christianity and old pagan beliefs. Mm. I mean, obviously, the Christian celebration of Easter is, as you say, about the crucifixion and then after 3 days, the resurrection of Christ. So it's a crucial celebration and stands alongside Christmas, the birth of Christ and then the death of Christ, the two big Christian festivals.
Okay. So that's the Christian thing.
Yes.
You said something about pagan. What does that mean?
Well, of course, experts will tell you that 2,000 years ago when Christianity started to spread across Europe, it did, if you like, take over the pagan festivals that already existed.
So pagan is the kind of religion that people had
pre-Christian,
before Christianity.
Yes, and it's got a lot to do with various gods and superstition.
Okay.
And of course, pagan times, there was a big winter festival and there was a big spring festival. The spring festival was, of course, the festival of fertility and growth and new growth
and new life.
New life. Right. And of course, if you lived in a society where it was very important that the crops didn't fail, this was a time when you wanted to have all the good luck you can get and have the gods on your side to make sure that the crops had a very successful season.
Okay, so before Christianity then, Easter was a festival, a pagan festival, when people celebrated the start of new life and springtime and good luck for your farming for that year, right?
Yes.
Now, I understand the egg connection, because an egg is the symbol of new life, right? But why... Now, actually, one of my students asked me this last week. Why do we have chocolate eggs? Why chocolate?
Well, I must admit I'm not entirely sure, but my guess is that people have given each other eggs at Easter time, or if you like, at springtime as a gift, because it is, as you say, the time when all the birds are laying their eggs.
Right.
And you know...
Chickens and stuff.
Well, chickens, but all the wild birds are nesting and building eggs, making nests and laying eggs. And the you remember that in the old days, people used to use the natural resources very, very much. Right. The berries and the eggs were a resource. And so they would go out into the countryside and gather the eggs and eat them.
Right. So they used the eggs.
Egg season came in, and people would no doubt give each other eggs as presents. And then when we discovered the joys of chocolate, I suppose it was a natural thing to give people chocolate eggs instead.
Just a sort of gift thing.
It's just a gift, which symbolises new life.
So it's nicer, really, to give someone a chocolate egg than just an egg. Because just an egg, I mean... It's all right. You can boil it or fry it or something, but it's nicer as a gift to give someone a chocolate egg, I suppose.
Yes, I suppose.
Yeah. Right. So, let's see. What do English families usually do then at Easter in the UK? What do English families normally do?
Well, Easter? It is a traditional time for the family to get together.
Yeah.
And it's a long weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and those 4 days is when most families, you know, get together. And they these days they get in the car and they drive to the parents or the grandparents, and it is very much a family get together.
So
they give each other, you know, chocolate eggs in most households. Yes.
When I was a kid, I remember what you and Mum used to do. Is at Easter you used to hide. Eggs. You used to hide chocolate eggs around the house or around the garden, and me and James and I would go and try and find the eggs. So that was always fun. What did you do when you were a child?
Well, I remember I used to go to my grandparents' house. They lived up in the north of England in the countryside, and they had real boiled eggs, hard boiled eggs, which were boiled in water that had been coloured with something.
Right.
So you were given a pink egg or a blue egg or a green egg.
Yeah.
And we would roll them. This was really quite a well-established tradition that you roll the eggs down some kind of bank, down a hill.
Right.
Why? I'm not sure, but that's what people did. They used to roll the eggs down the hill and run after them as a kind of a game.
So you'd walk up a little hill with your blue or pink eggs, and then you would sort of roll them down the hill, and then run after them, and have a lot of fun running after.
That's right, and then if your egg broke, it didn't matter because it was hard boiled, it was cooked, and you would then eat the egg at the bottom of the hill. That's what you did. Right. You rolled it down the hill, and then you chased after it, and you caught it, and you ate it.
Right. Well, it sounds like lots of fun. I suppose these days, I think probably children are so lazy now that if you hid some chocolate eggs in the house, they probably, you know, would be too lazy to get up and try and find them. You'd probably have to leave iPods or something around the garden so that people... Because, you know, if you left an iPod in the garden, then a child would probably get up in front of the TV and try and find it. I think kids these days are too lazy to do anything, really, unless there's an iPod involved.
I don't really agree with you, Luke, and I know you're really just teasing. That, right. The point is, of course, that it's fun, and kids do like to search for things and to hunt for things, whether it be a little chocolate egg or, indeed, a little chocolate rabbit. And sometimes you hide little chocolate rabbits around the house and ask the children to find them, and they love it.
I hit a rabbit the other day in the car when I was driving.
Really?
There's lots of rabbits around here. You know, my parents live in the countryside, listeners, and there's lots and lots of rabbits, especially at this time of year. And I was driving the car to the station to pick up my brother James, and a rabbit ran out in front of the car. And I didn't hit the rabbit with the wheels, so I didn't squash it. But the rabbit went under the car, and I heard a kind of noise.
Plonk.
I heard a kind of doom noise as the rabbit hit his head on something under the car. I looked in the mirror, and there was just a dead rabbit.
What a horrible thought. Mind you, we do see an awful lot of dead rabbits on the roads these days. There are thousands of them.
That's right.
And they do have a terrible habit, the rabbit habit, of running out in front of your car.
They're stupid, aren't
they? Wait until you're coming, and then they run out.
Yeah, they're just stupid, really, aren't they? But anyway, there's so many of them that it doesn't matter.
Well, it's a pity for that particular rabbit, but there's nothing much you can do about it when it hurls itself in front of your car.
Well, there's plenty of food for the birds.
That's quite right. Lots of birds eat the dead rabbits. The crows, the magpies, and the buzzards, they live on the rabbits which are killed on the roads.
Right, yeah. Well, thanks very much, Dad, for agreeing to talk to me. Yeah, it was very nice. Thank you.
Okay, and I hope you have a very happy Easter, Luke.
Happy Easter to you.
Thank you.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, so that was my dad. Very nice man, very well educated. He knows a lot of things about history and all sorts of things. So I was very lucky to be able to interview him. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I had another email about an English question. Now, I got an email from Miho in Yokohama in Japan, and she asked me what basically means, because she heard me in the first podcast using the word basically a lot. And she's right, I do say basically quite a lot. It's a very common word, particularly for me. Lots of people use the word basically. Now, the word basically is it's an adverb, and adverbs are great words, very useful words that you can use at the beginning of a sentence. Now, a word like basically doesn't really mean very much, but people use it almost like a habit. Basically is used to say, before you say something, you use the word basically to say that you're going to say something in a simple or basic way. Okay, so for example, if I use the word basically, you put it at the beginning of the sentence and you'd say something like this. Basically, this is a podcast to give learners of English some listening practice. Okay, now there are lots of other adverbs that you can use in a similar way at the beginning of a sentence. And you probably know adverbs because most of them end in ly. Now, we get lots of different kinds of adverbs in different positions in the sentence. But the adverbs I'm going to teach you now are ones you can use at the start of a sentence. So we've got adverbs like basically, actually, obviously, strangely enough, frankly speaking, recently, unfortunately, amazingly, and hopefully. Okay, so I'm just going to give you some examples of that now. So we'll start with actually. Actually, this is only the second podcast I've ever done. Okay, so there's an example. Now, if you speak Spanish and some other European languages, actually, in your language, means currently, meaning now. So actually doesn't mean now. It just means as a matter of fact, right? So actually, this is only the second podcast I've ever done. The third one is obviously. Now, we use obviously to say something that's obvious. So say something that everybody knows. Now, football players use obviously a lot when they're doing interviews. Now, just as an example, you might say, obviously, we were the best team in the competition. Right? Now, you would say obviously because your team won. So, of course, your team was the best team. So, obviously, my team was the best team in the competition, for example. The next one is strangely enough. Strangely enough. Now, that's used to say something that is strange. Okay? So, for example, strangely enough, I don't really like fish and chips, even though I'm English. Right? So that's strange because most English people like fish and chips. So strangely enough, I don't really like fish and chips, even though I'm English. The next one is frankly speaking. Now, this is something you would say that's rather honest. Okay, so, so for example, frankly speaking, it was the worst film I've seen in a long, long time. So if you're being very honest about something, you can say frankly speaking. Frankly speaking, it was the worst film I've ever seen. The next one is recently. Now, you probably know recently. We use it to say something that happened in near or close time, right? So, for example, recently I've been listening to lots of Rolling Stones records. Okay, recently I've been listening to a lot of Rolling Stones records. Okay, the next one is unfortunately. Unfortunately, and we use that one to say to talk about something bad that's happened, okay, something that you regret, okay. So, for example, unfortunately, I had to leave before the end of the lesson, okay. Unfortunately, I had to leave before the end of the lesson, so that would be a bad thing because obviously you want to be in the classroom for the whole lesson. But unfortunately, I had to leave before the end of the lesson, and I missed the most important part, for example. And finally, the next one I'd like to teach you is amazingly enough. We use that one to describe something amazing. For example, amazingly enough, I've never been to Edinburgh. Amazingly enough, I've never seen a musical. And amazingly enough, I've never been to Harrods. So that's amazing because I live in London and I've never been to Harrods, right? So amazingly enough, I've never been to Harrods, okay? There's one more, and that's hopefully. Now, if you hope for something, then you can use hopefully. For example, hopefully this podcast isn't boring, right? Okay. Right, so that's the end of part three, and that's the end of this podcast. Don't forget to email me. I'd like to end with a question again now. And the question this time is, what kind of music is popular in your country at the moment? So what are people interested in at the moment in terms of music in your country? So, for example, is it mainly English language music, so music from America or Britain, or is music from your country more popular than English language music? So don't forget to email me. That's luketeacher@hotmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you very soon. That's the end of the podcast. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for downloading Luke's English Podcast. Don't forget to email me at luketeacher@hotmail.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.